weekends are funny on Absolute Radio.
And that all starts now with the most exciting man ever to don a cardigan.
John Richardson.
Exciting, effervescent, effortlessly uplifting.
Okay then, if you say so.
This is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to Spiteful Little Goblin Man, the podcast of this week's show.
Brackets,
on
happy
Radio.
Birthday, John. Brackets, happy birthday. I tried to soften the blow a bit.
Thank you. I am joined by Angela Barnes.
Hello.
Thank you. Good show.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, six-time world champion joins us this week.
How amazing was she as well? Brilliant.
She was really good.
Yeah.
And I think there'll be some follow-up on that as well.
Definitely.
The title is a reference to a comment made about me by someone I thought was a colleague and a friend.
Well,
I would say
that particular colleague and friend, there's been a few surprises with her this show, I'd say.
Charlie's had a big week.
Yeah.
It's been a big week for Charlie. Some shocking scenes today in one of our regular features. I will say no more than stay tuned. Unbelievable stuff. Are you all right, Angela? Because I think...
It took it out of me,
big
John.
For you, really.
It's not something you want to have to do, but I'm just doing my job.
Okay.
You know?
It's a spicy one, that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
We are joined by Angela, Charlie and producer Dave, stepping in for Will, who's off on his jollies.
Dave, hope you're having a lovely holiday, Will. That's what John meant.
Do I mean that?
No.
No, I do. Because the thing is, if he's listening, he's not having a good holiday.
Well,
is
that's
it?
True.
If he's checking in on the John Richardson Show on his holidays, then something's gone badly wrong with that relationship. And we'll give you all the details next week.
But wow.
Now, oh, imagine if it has.
Oh,
I'd
God.
Feel awful.
Wouldn't you just?
I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they're absolutely fine. Stay tuned though. Here's this week's show. Good morning, it's John Richardson here on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, you know. Yeah, I'm all right. I might have some smugness for you later.
Oh, really? I must say, you look like you've been doing exercise.
Yeah, I've done a specific kind of exercise, which I'll tell you about.
Okay, that's up. Yeah, all right.
that's a tease, isn't it?
People's imaginations.
Right, let's keep it clean.
Yep.
We are here for 3 hours. Let's not get into what happened this week. We always start with tying up the loose ends. So if you weren't here last week, here's what you missed out on. And last week, I'm delighted to say we crowned our first ever Listener of the Week after one of our listeners did this to my lyrics for the Funky Dude rap.
You know what, John? If you've got a picture of yourself at that age, I reckon AI could make a great video to go with that.
Oh, that's a great shout.
Don't you think?
I've got a few, yeah. I've got one of me in my Beavis and Butthead t-shirt. It's probably around that time.
Quite inappropriate for a child of that age.
That's a really... Because you can do those things where it animates photos now,
yeah, because don't you just give it a couple of photos and then it'll make the video for you? Do it.
It's totally transformed it. Because when we first played that out, I sent it ironically as sort of punching down. That's what you do as a comic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Attack your younger self.
That's what you do.
It's what we do as people. But I tell you what, that you put that music under it, I think it's actually good.
Yeah.
I think I am a good rapper. I'd love to hear from someone who is versed in these things. So if anyone listening is a qualified rapper, I'd love your opinion.
Can you get a qualification?
I think you probably get BTEC or something, can't you, in rapping?
Definitely.
I've probably got one. If someone's going to offer me, what is it they call it when they give someone a degree they haven't worked for?
Honorary doctorate in
honorary,
rap.
Yeah, I'll take an honorary doctorate in rap for that. Of course, when I was a funky dude, I never knew what I was capable of, but now I look back. Anyway, that was last week. I also painted a much more vivid image of what I'm like to work with on this show. Just me and my little troll hole. That's me. I don't remember...
I mean, that could have been in any context, couldn't it? You in a little troll hole. That's where you live.
Yeah, I was talking about being mean to people, wasn't I? Which I will do later. I'm going to be mean to people. I'm going to invite you to be mean as well. I also accidentally, I've been taken out of context here by producer Dave, who regular listeners will be keen to know is wearing a white T-shirt. And he looks absolutely smashing.
And anyone who doesn't know why we're laughing so heartily at that, go back a few episodes to the Jazz FM episode.
Yeah, do your research, tuning in and not expecting to get a call back to a joke that was made 2 months ago. Unbelievable. Anyway, I made an indecent proposal to one of our listeners last week. If you can get me flashing and talking properly, then I think we could get on, Luke. Listen, I was talking about, I believe, the indicators or the full beam on a car.
Yeah, maybe.
I will not be making any further comment at this point. Angela, it is the 50th episode of the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio. Can you believe it? It's
how
our golden
exciting.
Anniversary.
God, it's gone so quickly.
And it's flown by.
Hasn't it? Of course, I've not been here for all of them.
No, you haven't.
So
but I'll tell you what, if you had been...
Yeah.
No, I can't say that, can I? Because it'll be mean to the other people. I forget you all listen. You all listen to the ones you're not on, and that's when I get in trouble. Because what I am, I'm a two-faced snake.
Oh, yeah.
And I will be very nice to one of you at the expense of the other. And then all of a sudden, I get a little WhatsApp message in the week. Oh, what's all this stuff about dungarees?
Well,
none of your business is what it is. I was talking to somebody else about you. If I wanted to say it to your face, I would have, but I won't because I'm a coward.
You're in your 40s, John. Have you not learned that women talk to each other? Like, do you think me, Roisin and Kerry just... don't have our own little WhatsApp group where we go, that spiteful goblin's been on us again?
I don't mind you talking to each other. It's that you listen to the show. I find it's frightening. I don't like the idea of anyone listening to this. But do stay tuned this week on the Absolute John Richardson Show, because we're going to do all the usual stuff.
Yep.
Exciting news in smugness this week.
I'm so excited about the smugness this week.
We've got a guest coming on referencing something we talked about last week. This is proper achievement. So this is all about bringing you down for your park runs, the holidays you've been on, the DIY you've done, the park run. It's always park runs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always somebody who's done a park run. However, this week it's heavyweight and you've got to try and match that. So I'm going to ask you to be smug about something that matches.
I don't think
the caliber
I can, because I know what's coming up and I don't think I can match that.
And so a little different vibe from you as well, possibly this week. I might give you a free pass because I might be smug so that you can rant, because I think you've got something to get off your chest.
Yeah.
Literal Police is back. Further news on the ongoing investigation. And may I say, one of the most staggering developments since the Literal Police Bureau was brought into force.
I'm just doing my job, John. That's all I can say at this point.
An incredible piece of detective work from Officer Barnes, which will have, I mean, direct consequences in the studio at the time we announce it. So stay tuned for that. I love you, but back as well. It's our one dedication, not a cheesy shout out. We don't do that. Just because it's Saturday morning, we're all bang on about being in love with each other. Yeah. Let's ask you a Monday morning at half 8 who you love, shall we? Get a dedication from then. See if you mean it. So we do a dedication with a little bit of nastiness at the same time. So I love you, but can come in on john@absoluteradio.co.uk. And lots more to discuss. I've got an exciting update on a new bit of kit I've bought for Leaf the hamster and a new food that she tried this week.
Have you got a video of it?
No more, because you didn't behave with the one you had. And I could see Charlie looking at Dave to get him to press the button that Will would press at this point. And it's not happening because there's a new sheriff. Don't do it, Dave.
For the listeners at home, Will's on holiday, but Will has briefed stand-in Dave, the producer. Here we go.
Isn't that the good stuff?
Right. Well, see, I like this. Now, we're not going to talk about Leaf the Hamster. We will talk about Angela's thoughts on last week's
F1.
John,
you've got to stop letting it get to you, because the more it gets to you, the more we do it.
I think it's getting to everybody, isn't it? There'll be people at home thinking, that's enough now. That's enough. Just let a man feed his hamster.
My husband did actually say, I think they've got a bit too heavy on the Leaf stuff now.
Good. He's a good man.
He said that.
I've always said it. We'll have a little bit of a chat about the launch of my teaching career this week, and I need you to double down. I asked something from you, the listener, last week, and I won't say you let me down, but I will say you failed me completely. Get in touch anytime you like, john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Oh, we like spinning. Isn't that good stuff?
I will tell them what else you're wearing, Dave, and you won't like it. Well, last week, it would be fair to say, Angela, you hobbled in.
I did. I was a few days post-surgery last week, I think, when we came in. So I'm a couple of weeks post-surgery now, feeling much better.
You're looking a lot better.
Yeah, I feel better. I've got my dungarees back on, so that's the most important thing.
Yes, I really like them. They're lovely.
So sincere, John. So sincere.
I like...
These are the very dungarees that you complimented them when I wore them at your charity show. I will never believe a compliment from your mouth again.
I do like... It's more... I'm digging myself out. So listen, I made some comments about dungarees mm-hmm. and people who are wearing them look like toddlers. I doubled down on those on WhatsApp this week when you got angry at me and I asked if you'd missed your nap. I will not be doing that here.
Funny you won't do that when you're actually in touching distance of me, eh, John?
I do like your dungarees. They are nice dungarees. My issue is more with the... What is it? Is it called a romper suit?
Like a onesie. Like
Yeah, jumpsuit. That's exactly the term I'm looking for.
I don't know whether now's the time to tell you, John, but we're doing a... I won't mention what it is, but we're doing a job together tomorrow and I've packed a jumpsuit to wear. So that's interesting, isn't it? We'll have some fun with that, won't we?
Yes, it's exciting. I think we can say we're quizzing together tomorrow, can't we? We won't give any more details than that until the show comes out.
It's quite exciting.
I'm banking on you, that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, don't bank on me.
Are you nervous?
I am nervous because, like, I like quizzing, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a quiz fan.
It would be fair to... Can I use the phrase, shut your mouth off?
You may.
You've been very bold about your quizzing stripes on this show and the number of quizzes you've won.
What worries me is the quiz that we're doing tomorrow is more likely to have sort of pop culture-y things in that I'm not so hot on.
Basically, the rollback.
If there's any music questions post 2004,
I don't
know the answers.
That is Absolute Radio and the sound of an engine being put into reverse.
I'm just getting my disclaimers in now, John.
Have you done gigs this week as well?
I have done gigs this week. What have I done this week? I've done various bits and bobs. I've done hosted an awards ceremony.
Excellent.
Yeah. You know.
Now I struggle with sincerity there. How do you? We've already discussed that when I pay someone a compliment, they don't like it, and when I say, "And now coming up, it's the award for this," there's a sort of sarcastic undertone to that.
I quite like them because it's like it's their night out. You know, whatever the industry is, I think there's a tendency to kind of take the Mickey. You know, you're doing the. I've done all sorts. Yeah, the parking awards or the door supervisors awards and whatever. And
I was at the parking awards. Yeah, I won reverse park of the year. You're not there that year.
You've got to do it manual. Yeah.
Oh, there's a couple I've done. It's sort of running joke with my daughter where I'll say to her, "Do you just grab the phone and film this? Because I think you're really going to like it." You're going to watch this one back when you're older.
Like that on my test, my driving test. I had to do a parallel park, and it went in so textbook that. If it had been anyone but an examiner, I would have high-fived them.
Yeah,
you can't really do that to the examiner, can you? But I almost was like, "Did you see that?"
There's got to be a little look, aren't there? Do you want me to carry on with the rest of the test? Or
I think we're done
here. License now. That's it, isn't it?
I passed my test just 2 minors, John. That's all I got.
I got 2 minors. Hey. What were yours for?
Can't remember.
Did you hit a bus stop? You clip the curb? Something like that?
I think you've got a couple of pensioners, but in London, that's a minor.
Crank the air conditioning up. Give the instructor a little nap. I can tell you exactly what mine were for because I think about them to this day.
One was for
lack of control on the reverse park. And the second one was for excessive caution, which I thought on a driving test.
Oh,
I'm a cautious man anyway.
You're the only person I know who can get a minor for excessive caution. That's the most John Richardson thing I've ever heard in my life. A minor for excessive caution.
Yeah, but past first time, 2 minors like you. I've heard a few people this week talk. Did you hear this? Oh, I always think the best drivers pass third time.
Absolute rubbish.
Infuriating, isn't it?
Absolutely. My friend passed on her 6th go, and it was in December, and the examiner passed her and then said, "Thank God, I thought we were going to have to invite you to the Christmas party."
I've said it before and I'll say it again. 5 goes and that's enough. If you fail the 5th time, this isn't for you.
It's not for you.
We don't need you on the roads. No. Now, the John Richardson Show WhatsApp group was absolutely pinging last weekend, wasn't it? With Formula One bants. It's usually just Wordle and being mean to Will.
Yeah.
But it really kicked off this week about Formula One.
It was the Baku, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix in Baku, which can be a bit of a dull race. And it wasn't the most exciting race in the world. It's a street race, so it's got a couple of dodgy... That turn 8, John. By the castle where it like wiggles through. Oh, my heart's in my mouth when they go through there.
You can imagine a cautious driver like me. It took me 20 minutes to get through.
Oh, you'd never get through it, mate. You'd just
mirror signal manoeuvre.
You'd be on Google Maps finding an alternative route. That's what you'd be doing. But it was exciting because Carlos Sainz is one of my favourite drivers. Because he's just so nice. There's a video on Instagram of him showing you how to make breakfast pancakes. That's how nice he is, right? Mm. Not like your James Hunt. Like he's a proper nice fella. And he's now with the Williams team, which, you know, have been sort of backmarkers more in the middle this season. And he got a podium, John.
Yes, that's lovely. He was third, wasn't he?
He was third. And did you hear about the unicorn sticker?
No.
So, this is such a sweet story. There was this little girl, her name was Thea, right? And Williams did this thing where kids could ask questions of their drivers. It was a little thing for Instagram and stuff. And she asked them to name her unicorn. She had a little unicorn. Whether it should be called Sparkles or Sprinkles, right? Carlos Sainz said, if you send me a sticker of your unicorn, I'll wear it on my helmet. So she did. So this
Not
little
on
girl,
the front.
So, no, he wore it on the back of his helmet, but it was quite a big sticker, like you could see it on his helmet.
If he's got this on unicorn, the podium with a massive sticker across the visor, incredible.
Yeah, no, it wasn't in his eye line, John.
Right,
it was a cute little Sprinkles, Sparkles, the unicorn on the back of his helmet. And then he came third. So he's like, well, now I have to wear the unicorn sticker at every race, don't
I? Wow, okay, that's very sweet.
Isn't
All
that
right.
adorable?
Yeah, you need that in Formula One, I think, don't you? You need the human element.
Yeah.
Because it's all cars otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Max Verstappen won, whatever, boring. But I thought that was a lovely
little story. Yeah, missed opportunity
for
Lando. I do with Formula One what other people do to me with football, where they learn a thing. That if I start talking about it, they can say, oh, what do you think of Saka being injured then? And then that's it, you're off. And I do that with Formula One. So my big one this week is, oh, if Lando had won that, he'd have been right up there again,
but
wouldn't
he? But the thing is, Lando missed the opportunity on Saturday, really, in qualifying. He just didn't qualify well enough. And then he just couldn't get through the pack, and it was, I mean, Piastri, that was shocking from Piastri because he's usually so cool and level-headed. To make a mistake like that, to jump the start and put it in the wall.
When he couldn't get it in first, when it was grinding. Awful business.
Terrible. Terrible.
Couldn't get the radio tuned while he was driving around.
Apparently, he was being overly cautious. That's what they said.
Yeah, good man. Good man. Sounds sensible to me. Missed the reverse parking in the pit lane as well. Takes extra time, but it shows an extra class, I think. Crucially, very quickly, what people really want to know about Formula One, what did your husband make you eat from
dinner?
Azerbaijan?
Well, that's it, because you'd think, well, Azerbaijan, that's quite tricky. But he found this recipe. They're called Qutab. Qutab, mm-hmm. And it's like a flatbread, which he made the flatbread himself and stuffed with sort of mints and herbs and covered in sumac. It was absolutely delicious. Oh. Yeah, really gorgeous. Lovely.
Oh, and
what
he doesn't
man,
want
eh?
That button pressed. He is a good man. He is a good man. He's wasted on you.
He really is. Don't tell him that. He hasn't realised yet.
Right, strap in. It's time for a cracking Love You But on Absolute Radio. This time we do not play along with all the other stations where people are spreading love and positivity and all that.
I think we've proved that already this morning, haven't we?
It's
goes without saying.
All over the country now. It's not happening on Absolute Radio. So this is where you can get a dedication. You can say something nice at the beginning if you like, but really what we're about is the second half of the message. Mm-hmm. And this week it comes from Vicky.
Hi, John. Hello, Angela. I just want to give a shout out to my brand new next door neighbours. I love you guys. You're really nice. And I'm so glad you've joined the street. The cake was also delicious. But I just want to say I can't ever look you in the eye ever again. And I will be avoiding you for as long as we live next door to one another. John and Angela, I just want to give you some sort of context. They moved in last week, came over. They were really nice, introduced themselves. Obviously shared a delicious cake. It was chocolate. It was yummy. Cut to yesterday. I'm leaving the house in a rush as my Uber's arrived. I walk down the drive to the car parked outside the house, open the back door and go to get in the car when I notice that there's just on the back seat two children looking at me really confused. The parents obviously in the front turn around and like, what are you doing? Realise it's not my taxi. It's actually my brand new next door neighbours about to go on a family trip and I've just tried to get in their car. I panicked, I shut the door of them without saying anything. I still have yet to explain myself. They must just think I'm an absolute lunatic. Yeah, so that's me signing off from a very embarrassed next door neighbour.
Oh, Vicky.
Love it.
I think you're fine. Like, they know who
yeah,
you are.
It's not that bad,
it would have been worse if you hadn't shared cake with them previously.
I think the mistake seems to... Well, I think they made the cake, didn't they? That's what I got from that message.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
They've moved in and made cake for the neighbours. It should be the other way around, isn't it? Don't you pop round with the cake? I mean, I don't.
No,
but doesn't one? You've moved house recently.
Well, I was a little bit nervous when she said our new neighbours that have just moved in. I was like, oh, my God, it's not me, is it? I've just moved into a new house. But, no, when she said there was cake, then I knew it wasn't me. I don't make cakes. But,
you want to be careful getting into my car. I'll take you. I'll take you where I'm going. We'll have a road trip together. Which audiobooks do you like?
I did that once coming out of a friend's house. My mum was picking me up from a friend's house once when I was little. And the car pulled up and I got in the back seat. And there was a baby seat next to me with a baby in it. And I went, Mum, who's that? And I looked around, it was a strange woman in the car. And I just got in.
It all turned out. I think the mistake is in just, it sounds like she's panicked and slammed the door without saying anything.
Yeah,
I think that's what's
the
made
weird,
it weird
thing. Yeah. If you just said, oh, you're not my taxi, would have been fine,
I've
wouldn't it?
I've got a thing where I've come into possession of one of my neighbour's wine glasses. From a thing that it was pre-summer.
Right.
I now know it's their wine glass, but I only found it recently, but I've had it for months. It's weird now to go around and say, oh, this is one of your wine glasses, isn't it?
No. Oh,
but I think if they know, it'll drive him mad. He's kept that wine glass, you know.
I think that's weirder than you suddenly going, I've just realised I've still got your wine glass. I'm so sorry.
Do you think? I'll just lob it over the fence with a note.
Yeah, do that. You don't have to talk to your neighbours. That's just silly.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to John Richardson and Angela Barnes here on Absolute Radio. It's smugness time. It's where you come straight back after I Love You But, where I talk about people being nice to each other. And then this is the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just people enjoying things they've achieved in their life, getting up on a Saturday and thinking, oh, it's been a cracking week. And I go,
no, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. Get real. Yeah.
Have you checked? Have you thought about the consequences of your actions, actually? Have you thought about the climate change? We've got a guest coming up, references something that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
So the pressure's off you a little bit.
Well, knowing what we've got coming up, there's no way I could equal that smugness. So it's a gentle smugness from me this morning.
But I'll back you up. I'll do one and you can be horrible to me.
All right, then.
Go on. What's yours?
Well, mine is just that, so as you know, we've moved house recently. And we've moved from a flat into a house. And so I've never had my own garden properly. And the house we've moved into has got quite a big front garden. And the woman who lived there before us, she lived there for 50 years. And this garden's been beautifully looked after over 50 years. It's like a legacy, right? And also her daughters live nearby. So we're a bit like, we can't just pave over it. That's a real...
Yeah, when you get in the patio, put in.
So, well, we got a gardener to come around because it was strangled in bindweed and stuff. It was a big old job. So we got a gardener to come around.
Japanese knotweed, is it?
No, definitely not Japanese knotweed. Don't put out that I've got that.
That on the survey, is it?
Absolutely not. No, bindweed. And I pulled a load of it out myself, but I just had my gallbladder out, so it was a bit tricky to yank it. So we got a gardener in, and they've sorted it, and now my front garden looks so beautiful, John. It's got a fig tree, it's got all these beautiful shrubs, it's got a lovely little bench where you can sit in the sun in the morning. It's so, I love it so much, and I'm going to learn how to look after it. I know I'm turning into Kerry, but that's how it is when you hit nearly 50.
Yeah, I don't mind it. You're celebrating your bindweed, so that's some of my work done. How far away is this fig tree from the front door?
It's quite
5 metres?
It's more than 5 metres.
Yeah, all right, then you're fine for the insurance. I'll find something. I'll find something in there that's going to get in your foundations. Don't you worry about that.
Thanks. Well, next door I've got bamboo, so that's probably going to be a problem at some point, isn't it?
Yeah, good. Oh, lovely. Look
forward
to that.
That's made you happy now. Look how much you enjoyed that.
I look forward to seeing your neighbours from hell with your shears stood out in the street. It wants cutting down. You want cutting down. She only moved in 3 weeks ago. Do you want mine?
Yes, I do.
I've done two sports back-to-back this week. Hasn't happened since I was 18.
Wow.
I played five-a-side football.
Yeah.
Last time I played it's a group of friends. I know this one guy and he said I was short. It's the second time I've played. The last time I scored a really good goal. And they think, so when I arrived this week, everyone was like, oh, here he comes. And there was one point I got the ball quite early and someone went, don't let him shoot. And I wanted to say, people have been letting me shoot for 43 years and it hasn't been a problem. And sure enough, I did not score. But
you didn't.
I did do a football.
When you just said, my friend said we're short, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's a perfect team for you, John.
I felt it.
Did you feel it?
I felt it in the room. It's like static.
Sorry,
like
I had
getting
to get
off
it
a
out.
Trampoline and just don't touch someone else. I could feel it in the room. What other sport do you think I did as a mid-40s presenter on Absolute Radio this
week?
Did
you play paddle?
I played paddle.
What else could it possibly have been? It was either going to be paddle or golf.
Yeah, it was.
Who do you think you are, Jason Manford?
we'll talk about Waterloo Road later. Tour dates.
Hang on a minute. Do you just do everything Manford does? Absolute Radio. Now you're playing paddle. What, are you going to have no more kids next?
8 out of 10 cats, the one show.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Coming up on Absolute, I'm going to tell you about the musical album that I'm releasing this Christmas. It's the John Manford Show on Absolute Radio.
Just remember, if you can't afford Jason Manford, John Richardson is available.
That's my smugness well and truly brought down. I'm not going to force anyone to be smug. I am going to introduce a very special guest in a way that will make it clear what they're smug about, because this is a debut for the Absolute Radio John Richardson Show. Our first ever 6-time world champion. Unless you've been hiding something under a bushel and you've got six world belts on.
I've never won anything 6 times, John, apart from Scrabble, maybe. But not in
a
world championship.
How many House of Games?
Not
5.
Yet. Oh, actually, yeah, no, I've won, well, in total, including Champion, 9 out of 10 episodes of House of Games.
Cancel the call, actually. We don't need a guest. I'm delighted to say Lucy Wood is with us. The 6 times, Lucy, tell us.
Yeah, 6 times World Stone Skimming Champion.
Yes!
Champion, because we talked about this last week, didn't we, John?
Yes, we did.
You did. But you only mentioned the men, so I have to equal this out and just make it really clear that there's a really strong female category that's equal to the men's category.
Too right. That's the article that I found only mentioned the men, but then I stumbled across an article about you, Lucy, and I was like, right, we have to get Lucy. So, yeah, up the women.
Yeah, women can skim, women can throw. We're definitely there in the competition. So,
I mean,
yeah,
you say that, Lucy. You can clearly skim.
Well, I heard what you said last week, Angela. I swear to God, if we went to a river, I would get you skimming a stone. Like, definitely, no matter what it is, you would do it.
This is happening. We're doing this. What do you think, John?
Yeah, we should.
Well, I'd like to be involved as well as a pathetic
man. You can watch if you like.
I didn't even know. It didn't even reference in anything I read that there was a male and female event. I assumed it was a group. It seemed such a lovely thing to do. Mm. I didn't know why they would band you separately. Male or female, I read your winning throw is 48 metres. I mean, who's skimming a stone further than 48 metres anyway?
Well, so it's really odd. So this is an amazing competition that I would encourage everyone to go to if they can get up there. So it's on this little island on the west coast of Scotland. It's an old slate. It's a slate industry island. So it's Easedale, and it's one of the old quarries. So it's got the unique thing about this competition is it's got a back wall, which is 63 metres. So you can only go 63 metres. Whereas on lots of the other competitions, it's open bodies of water, so they can skim infinite, you know, as far as they can go. So the Guinness World Record for the most number of skips is 88 by an American guy called Kurt Steiner. So in America, they do skips, which is bounces. And in for us in Europe and for the world competitions, it's judged on distance. There are rules around it. I mean, it's not as easy as just turning up and skipping. It's got to do a minimum of 2 bounces before it dies, and you have to skim it in a straight line, so it has to go between these two ropes, and if it skims out, then it's a no skim.
So you have to keep it within. Do you live near a body of water to practice on?
I do a lot of running. So often, I do a lot of running in the Peak District in Sheffield, in Derbyshire. So if I'm near a body of water, then...
I live at the beach. I live at a pebble beach, but I cannot make it bounce. I can't make it skim. Did you say 88? bounces.
Yeah, that's
the
kick. Yeah, and the distance. The world, the Guinness World Record is Dougie Isaacs, who's a legend in the world stone skimming community. And he did 120 metres.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the guy that did 88, did you say his name was Steiner?
Yeah, Kurt Steiner.
That's German for stones. Isn't that brilliant?
That's amazing.
Nominative determinism as well.
Yeah, if you were to visualise him, he's like bearded, long-haired, proper mountain man. That's what he's like. He lives in Michigan.
Kurt can mean short, though, as well, can't it? So it doesn't mean short.
Oh, yeah.
Short stoner.
Short stoner.
So I did say the puns in the stone skimming world are quite vast, which I guess you must have seen.
I can feel a group outing going on, John, can't you?
Yeah.
Well,
you'll have to
I live in Sheffield as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think you live in Sheffield, right?
Do you? Oh, I didn't know that.
No, not a lot of people do. Keep yourself to yourself.
No. Oh, my God. Well, there we go. So, the dams, because that's where the dam busters practiced.
Hey.
So, the Derwent Dams in Derbyshire. You see, this is where it gets interesting. See, those stones, they're very round. They're very spherical. They're not very flat. But you can still skim them because Barnes Wallace developed the bouncing bomb skimming marbles in his garden with his kids. So that it's just the angle at which the stone hits the water. So you can skim anything. You've just got to change the angle it uses.
I love that we've got you on to talk about something because it seemed quite a sweet story and we've already referenced the show's inherent sexism and the bouncing bomb. So we've managed to,
we managed to
put a tone on it, haven't we? Right, Lucy, let's talk about technique now. I want some tips from a world champion. So what do you recommend about technique?
There are definitely tips. So like,
can you give us like a top three?
Yeah. I've got top five, actually, so I'll do it really quick for you.
Great.
You need a stable base. You need a strong body. A lot of people will collapse when they try to skim it because they're trying to get close to the water, but you need to stand really upright because most of the skimming will come from your body, not your arm. So you're using your body. You need, if you think about where your hand is, lots of people will start quite low, but lots of the pros will start with their hand above the head. So somewhere between head height and hip height is where you want to start with your skip with your hand.
Wow.
And then as you bring it around, you go really quick. So it's like a golf swing, I guess, if you think about it in that way. And then the size of the stone is kind of important. If you can get one that's palm size, that's what I would normally say. Nothing too big and nothing too small. And then the fifth one, which is really important, is getting your index finger around the stone. So when it leaves your hand, you spin it and you use your index finger to give it the spin. And it's the spin that keeps it stable in the water so it will just fly.
Wow.
So those are my top
tips. I want to go out now and do it. Where can we go out now? I've got to skim in the urinals in the toilets. Absolutely.
Well,
I've got loads and loads of stories about this. The wonderful guys at Loughborough University one Christmas when it was quite quiet, we actually built a tiny pond in their lab and skimmed it off that. You know, you can skim it off so much stuff.
This flood of studio. Let's do it.
Or even on concrete, like someone said to me, one professor at Cambridge University once said to me, do you actually practice off the tarmac? And I was like, oh, I haven't even thought about that. Because, you know, the stone will still skim off that. So you can practice your technique on it.
I suspect this is going to become
and keep going.
A video at some point. I suspect this isn't over for us.
Definitely not. I feel like you two are so enthusiastic. So I'd really love to teach you how to do it. Yeah.
Weird game. John loves learning a new skill, don't you, John?
Do you know, when you were listing the tips there was a point where you were talking about strong bodies and throwing it from height where I thought, this just isn't for me. But,
I'll sit you on my shoulders, John. We'll be fine.
I need to say that the 11-year-olds are ace as well, so I think you'll be fine.
Right, great. That sounds more like my kind of thing. We didn't even get a chance to touch on the controversy, but I think what we've done is celebrate skimming stones in its purity.
Yeah,
and I think that's
absolutely
what we should stand for.
Yeah, I need to tell all the listeners, it is really great, and I'd encourage everyone to get out there and do it because, you know, you end up in these weird, wonderful spaces. So I also live in London because that's where I work down there. So I do skim stones on the Thames. So even if you're in an urban environment, it is possible to do it. You know, lots of people say they don't have stones near where they live, but I skim bits of brick. If you think of all the buildings that have been knocked down along the Thames over the years, there's loads of like bits of brick and the river will flow over it and create these really lovely bits of stone that you can skim on the water.
It's more like 10-pin bowling on the Thames, aren't you? Just skimming off floaters and bits of detritus anyway.
Well, actually, there is a lot of boat traffic, so it's slightly different. You know, every body of water is slightly different. In Easdale, if you get a beautiful sunny day and it's nice and flat, it's just gorgeous. But then if it's howling a gale and it's really windy, then it creates loads of waves, so it's much harder to skim. And in London, you get waves because of all the boats going up and down the river. But it is possible, and I did skim a bit of brick that actually did hit bit that the police boat was going past by the south bank, and I just kind of pretended it wasn't me and just like.
Thank you for being our first, and I'm going to speculate, probably last ever six-time world champion to appear on the show.
Yeah, well, I'm lucky I won it again, because Guinness World Records have just updated their records for me, so that I've got a little while yet before anyone can get there.
Yay! Excellent. Good luck for the 7th, and we'll see you at a... This is an odd way to end a call, but Angela and I will see you at a reservoir soon.
Yes, we will.
I'm really looking forward to it. I can't
see
wait.
See you later. Cheers, Lucy.
Thanks,
bye.
Lucy. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
John, I watched it, Waterloo Road. Yeah. It's so exciting. But I didn't realise that the character you play is quite mean. John,
oh,
I could look you in the eye this morning. What a nasty little man.
He's a rotter. How far have you got?
I tell you what, you told me quite a lot about the role. You didn't mention that he was a Marine.
No, do you know, I had a few people said to me, what's the feedback been like? And my answer has been, well, I haven't gone looking for it, put it that way. But friends and family have been very nice. The few messages I've had from mates have said, listen, I can take that he's a womaniser. I could just about put you in that role. His nefarious past I can deal with. I'm not having you as an ex-Marine. That is just not happening.
Although they did sort of get in that first episode that he basically worked in the Army Recruitment Centre. So that
he was,
I could believe.
He was a paperwork guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was a bit worried. Not worried. Mm-hmm. But I thought, I'm going to feel like I'm watching
terrible.
John. No, not that you were going to be. I knew you weren't going to be terrible. I knew that. But it's hard when you know someone, isn't it, to sort of see the person that you know. But I didn't. Yeah. Like, you were Darius Donovan.
I think because I don't wear suits. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah,
I've never worn a suit doing stand-up. So I think the fact that, like, the wardrobe department are really good and the makeup department. I did my hair slightly differently, but not how I would
wear it.
But
it was sort of slick. You wouldn't have it slick like that. And you sort of carried yourself. I thought you were great. Absolutely.
There are
great.
Some press shots where it takes like 2 hours to do standing on a stairwell because they keep saying, can you sort of hint at the character? Can you look quite smug? And I want people to know that wasn't a one take thing. So because I see him and I think, oh, he needs a slap. That's not me. That's taken a long while to get to.
Yeah.
But all I will say is stay tuned. If you struggled with episode one,
it's going to get worse.
You are not going to like me in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
I'm an absolute rotter. Some people I know have already binged. The whole series went online at 6 a.m. My mum very kindly set her alarm for 6 and she'd watched the first episode by about 7:30.
Oh, that's so adorable.
Yeah. I managed not to get myself cancelled.
See, I'm going to do the one
she's
a
week. Halfway
I like
through.
That if I watch it, it'll be fresh in my mind for us to talk about on the radio, see?
Yeah, good. Okay, yeah. Well, we've got a few weeks before you can really not forgive me then. But.
But I like they've done that because they could have easily had you as the, you know, the fun teacher that everyone likes. But I like that they've made you really mean.
Holding out for an episode where I'm funny and nice, you're going to be waiting a long time. I did the one show to talk about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, you think, well, the story is really like, oh, I was a stand-up and now I'm doing acting. Is that a bit weird? Mm. No, they put me on with.
Go on.
Brett Goldstein. Can you believe we've got a stand-up on who's just turned to acting. Why don't we get one who's done all that he's done, but a little bit better, and he's taller and better looking? Why don't we sit him next to that?
The one who's won Emmys, actual Emmys.
Yeah.
That one. Oh, that's
absolutely
mean,
absolutely unbelievable.
Did you make that point on the show?
Good luck with... Absolutely, it's the only point I made. I just kept staring at him while he was talking.
He's very beautiful, isn't he, Brett? And a nice, nice, lovely man
he's
as well.
Absolutely lovely. He gave me a very lovely hug at the beginning. But because of the height difference, I was sort of nestled into his breast.
Oh, sort of, it's worst slightly, places to be, John.
It was slightly father and childlike, but it was very kind. On talking about the Hollywood film that he has written, produced and starred in. Anyway.
I find it so mad, John, because, I've gigged some awful comedy nights with Brett when I was starting out, you know, and you do those awful clubs in the middle of nowhere or whatever. And now I'm sort of still doing some of those clubs and he's in Hollywood.
It's worth saying after, I think, is it 4 links now of me just being a poisonous troll? Mm-hmm. I love you, but, and then 3 of smugness. It is worth saying Brett is one of the few people who is so nice.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge his success. I'm not going to say at all, but as much as I might. That's absolutely. As far as I'm going to go.
It's just a tiny bit rather than most of your being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm relatively
feel the same.
Pleased for him.
Yes.
That's the sound that
literal.
Police. That's the sound that
literal.
Police.
Oh, it's the best bit, isn't it?
It's where we use our powers for good. We use our platform to speak out against people who either get overexcited or make a slight mistake.
Yeah.
And if that
the world doesn't need
clamping
them.
Down on what does.
The world
absolutely.
Doesn't need them. Yeah.
You got to, what is the impact I can make today? What can I fix as John Richardson? Well, I can be sniffy about other people's grammar.
They call it your circle of influence, don't they? You know, we have very little influence in the world generally.
Yeah.
But if you can make your little corner of the world a little bit better, then it helps overall.
I'm not Meadow Hall. I'm just a little, I'm a corner stall. That's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm the guy stood on the crate with the loud hailer trying to... He's stood on the loud crate, he's screaming at 40,000 inebriated football fans about salvation, and he's just got to believe one of them's listening. They're not, but he's got to believe that. Right. Now, we've had a nomination this week, and it's one we have talked about off air, but here's what Lydia has to say for us.
Morning, John. Morning, Angela. Officer Lydia here. Sadly, I've got to report a fellow comedian to the literal police this week. I know it's a tough one for you to look up one of your own, but this is a blatant offence, and as an honest officer, I had to bring it to your attention. Miles Jupp has a new radio show, and I'm afraid to report that he's named it Miles Jupp is literally unputdownable. I mean, unless he's gluing himself to his listeners, I think this is a clear-cut literal offence.
Well, we knew this was coming, didn't we? I saw this last week and I ummed and ahed about it because I like Miles. You know, he's a friend, a colleague, but you can put him down and I have.
Well, that's key. That is key because I think we need a bit of context with the show. I love that Lydia said, sadly, it's a fellow comedian. Obviously, there's nothing we like more than
of course.
Comedians, to be honest, direct rivals. But we think it's only right to look into the show a little bit more, to not react immediately, to perhaps see if Miles himself would like to comment.
I'll reach out to him and see, you know, what he has to say for himself, I think.
We'll get back to you on that. It does, of course, leave a hole in the literal police this week. It's always nice to bang somebody up. And what do you do at this point then absolutely destroy a colleague live on air? So I'm just going to hand over to you, Angela, and let you put this however you'd like.
Okay. Well, I
was challenged by it.
Well, what I'll say is, you know, I'm just doing my job, John.
I've taken an oath as a literal
police officer. We haven't got any active cases at the moment, apart from Miles Jupp, which is in hand. So I thought I'd look at some cold cases. I thought I'd look back in the past and see what I could find. And I came across a WhatsApp message. Now, the problem is here, John, that the intention of the WhatsApp message was good. It had good intentions.
You can't let that bother you.
But you can't, can you? You can't let that cloud your vision. Otherwise,
if somebody robs a store at gunpoint to, you know, buy some food for a hamster, it's still a crime, right?
Yeah, John, and you will be getting a knock on your door about that. So,
spinach.
Oh,
you asked for that,
Dave.
John.
The good stuff.
You asked for that.
Leather pants. Interesting. Each time we press that button, I'm going to reveal another item of what he's wearing, top to bottom. Can I ask what to find this? Did you search out this person, or did you go into your WhatsApp and search for the word literally?
I went into my WhatsApp and I put in the word literally in the search function. Charlie, producer Charlie, on the show, did
look on her face.
And the thing is, Charlie, I love you, and you sent such a nice message because
she'd
come to see me at a gig, and the message says, I've seen that bit so much, and you literally killed it. But I didn't, John. I didn't kill anything. What can I do?
Would you like to defend yourself, Charlie? You don't look like someone who's ready to. You look quite upset.
I'm flabbergasted, actually. That's the word I'd use.
Oh, Charlie, I'm sorry.
I'm never trusting you again, Angela.
I'm sorry.
And can I go full news night and say, talk to me, Charlie, about how you felt when that message was sought out and put on the WhatsApp group this morning?
Well, as you mentioned, John, sometimes you get overexcited. You know, I'm going to hold my hands up. You didn't kill
you'd
the
been
room.
To see
it
Angela.
It was a great bit. I said I've seen it many times. And, you know, you didn't kill it, didn't die.
You'd been to see Angela Barnes live, so we know you weren't thinking straight. You were probably drunk.
Mm-hmm.
The roles are flexible.
I just think I'm not going to compliment any of you anymore and I won't come to your show.
Oh, thank goodness, because John and I can't handle it.
That's
probably just as well.
We've got to shut the cell door on you. 1 week suspension. We'll be back next week.
I don't feel good.
Even I, snake troll, what have I been called this morning? I've been called a snake, a troll and a goblin.
I wrote it down what Charlie called you off air. a little spiteful goblin man, I think was the phrase.
At what point are you going to stop complimenting us, Charlie? Even I, when you messaged this morning to say I've been going through former WhatsApps and I've found this, I thought that is absolutely staggering. So it's a commendation for excellent police work. If you've got a literal police offence for us, the police hotline is john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
You are listening to John Richardson and Angela Barnes here on Absolute Radio. Into our final hour. Always starts with a little mention of stories that you perhaps won't have heard on a news bulletin but might make you smile in the news that wasn't in the news that could, would or perhaps should have been in the news.
And what's nice about this feature, I mean, this is where the skimming story started, right? Things can grow out of this. It's lovely.
It has started bleeding into other parts. Yeah. Well, this is exciting then because... Ooh. If this story goes the way of skimming stones, then next week we might be joined in the studio by a drunk chimp.
Oh, yes, please. You mean Will's back?
Oh, that's lovely stuff.
Oh, right. Do you know when you say it and you're like, oh, I'm pleased with that one?
Yeah, well, you can hear the connection. It's like when you hear a golf ball struck really nicely. It's almost like a ting sound.
What I love
Ryder
most
Cup
is...
this weekend, do you into that? So the headline is, wild chimpanzees consume the equivalent of 2 cocktails a day. This is a story about some chimps that were let loose in Wetherspoons. No, it's not. It's all about rotten fruit.
It's always rotten fruit, isn't it?
I think it now when I have a slightly speckled banana. Mm. I think, I wonder if I'm safe to drive. But I'm quite a cautious driver anyway, as we've touched on earlier. But in the forests of Uganda and Cote d'Ivoire, the chimps, they get stuck into figs and plums.
Ooh, I've got a fig tree in my new garden.
Oh, get stuck in, mate. Yeah. I love a fig. First person I ever saw eat a fig, Josie Long in Barcelona.
Really?
Blew my mind. I don't want to sort of betray my working class roots, but I just assumed you peeled them or scooped the middle out to make jam. I watched her bite into it. I nearly screamed.
You can't do
that.
Didn't
know you just eat a fig.
I tell you, I don't think I ate a fig that wasn't in a fig roll until my 40s, probably.
Yes.
If I'm honest.
That's exactly it. You just put the middle bit in a biscuit, don't you?
Yeah.
I still didn't try one for about 5 or 6 years, but I'm bang on them now.
Nice with cheese. Oh, lovely.
Well, that's the first one I had was when you got those little puddings in the restaurant where they bake it in syrup and you have a little bit of ice cream on
it. Nice.
Anyway, the way I'll be taking them now, leave them for a few weeks, let them go rotten, and apparently through the day, a chimpanzee in rotten fruit will consume the equivalent of like 2 cocktails. Because each piece of fruit, the alcohol content is about 0.3%. So that's about kombucha.
Oh,
so they're keeping a slow buzz. Which
what
is why I think
life.
When you look at them and you think they're just like us.
Oh, just swinging through trees,
buzz.
Scratching their bits, getting slowly buzzed as the day goes on. No jobs, no commute.
Is there a slight commute for a chimp? I guess they've got to go and get the fruit.
I guess, but they're just swinging through the trees. They haven't got to get the northern line, have they?
No. We'll bring one in next week. Are you allowed to do that these days? What are the rules these days in these woke days? I bet I'm not even allowed to get a chimp drunk, am I?
I love how the only vegan in this room is the one saying that.
Hey, I love animals. I want to bring one in and give it a Bacardi and Coke. That's just animal welfare as far as I'm concerned. Okay, Angela, we talked about inebriated chimps.
Oh,
What have you got for us?
Well, now
this week?
It sounds like you've made a link there because I'm about to talk about the Women's Rugby World Cup. There isn't a link between that and inebriated chimps.
I've already been accused of sexism once this morning, and that's quite enough. 2 is starting to be a smoke without fire incident.
Well, I'm not a sports fan particularly, as you know, and I do remember from my university days that the women's rugby team absolutely terrified me, but it's been the World Cup for women's rugby, and last Saturday England apparently thrashed France 35-17.
One of
the players, the winger Abby Dow, her brother makes a point. I love this because this is such a beautiful sibling relationship thing. Her brother makes a point of always supporting the team that she's playing against. He turned up, the brother, for the England-France game fully dressed as Napoleon.
Wow.
Like, and there's a little video, I saw it on Instagram, and the article that I've got here does say it's not the darts, so crazy costumes aren't exactly a mainstay.
Yeah, I think
so
that's
fair. So I think you would have stuck out in the stand.
Well, I don't even think the French fans are turning up just as Napoleon,
well,
are they?
Probably not. But yeah, I thought that was quite... just a lovely example of sibling rivalry, you know, that kind of... They obviously
well,
love each other.
Straight up nastiness, isn't it?
Oh, I hope no, they would. She finds it, it's just lovely. He comes in, he's like, all right, just fully dressed as Napoleon.
What's he going to do? We've got Canada in the final. Has he said what he's going to do for the final?
Maybe he'll be
a
Mountie.
Oh, a Mountie. I was thinking a moose. A Mountie makes more sense. Mountie makes much more sense.
Maybe a moose dressed as a Mountie.
Yes, and that's offended any Canadian listeners we might have, I think. So we've done a cracking job because that was our suggestion. All right, I like that. That's fun. Surely, though, there's a chance we could have lost to France. I know we sort of ran away with it in the second half. It was pretty tight first half. If she comes out into the crowd to see her brother and he's dressed as Napoleon and we've actually just lost a World Cup semi-final... He's got to have something underneath that he can quipply. Where the parents are like, get that off now. She's coming. I want you to get that off now.
Where was the match? Was it in France or in England? Or
it was in Bristol, I believe.
It was in Bristol. So he's got to get on the train dressed as Napoleon on the way up with a load of England supporters. I wouldn't...
Commitment
that's brave, isn't it?
Bit. You just can't have, like, if we lose to Colombia and his parents are like, well, yes, we all like Shakira. Take the wig off, Matthew. Your sister is coming up the stairs now, please.
Have you ever had a situation, when I was about 10, we went to a Halloween party and I went dressed as the devil. I was in a red cat suit and horns and everything. And we got there, wasn't fancy dress. And I was just stuck in this red cat suit. And my cousin, who I'd gone with, was dressed as Dracula. So all he had to do was take the teeth and cape off. And he's just in a shirt and trousers.
Yeah, I must admit, whenever I've been invited to fancy dress, I don't think what would be funny. I think, what can I do that means I can go normally? My friend had a stag doing fancy dress where he had to go as a musician. And I went as sort of early era Bob Dylan. Just like a jacket and some t-shirt and jeans.
Little harmonica.
Didn't even get a guitar or anything.
Yeah, I didn't even bother.
Harmonica, yeah. Some sunglasses. That was it. Who are you? I don't know. Dylan. I'm the one going to the bar, though, aren't I? So we can get served. We've touched on Waterloo Road. We've touched on the quiz we've got coming up. We've touched on your tour. Yeah. What is the thing people really want to know? How's Leif?
Oh, John, your best friend.
Close friends. For those of you not
I like
aware,
how you said
perhaps,
that, just in case anyone thought there was anything dodgy going on. Yeah, we're just friends.
Yeah, well,
close friend.
I should point out that Leif is a Russian hamster that was brought into the Richardson family fold a few weeks ago. Are you going to press the button?
You're
allowed
on edge
one.
Now, aren't you? You're just...
You're allowed one, and then that's it. There we go.
The good stuff.
Oh, I think it's adorable, John. I don't see what's so funny. I really don't.
That's Leif having a little bit of spinach. I sent it to the WhatsApp group just so that everyone could see the video. I didn't even realise there was sound on it until it was put on the wall and used against me repeatedly and has been ever since. Tried her on a bit of Monge 2 this week.
Monge 2, Rodney. Posh hamster.
Yeah, she liked a bit of that. I was doing a big salad. I didn't think I'd give her beetroot in case it happens with hamsters the same way it does with people.
Give you a panic the next day.
I didn't want her frightened when she jumps off the wheel. She likes to go to the toilet by the wheel. And I don't know what that's all about. Not the Michael McIntyre show. I don't take her down there. Get him slipping up on it before I record.
Maybe it's because when she gets off the wheel, there's an urgency.
Oh, I think that's it. She does get really excited on the wheel. So maybe she just steps off. And
is she definitely
business.
A girl? Like, have you had it verified? Because they're quite hard to sex, aren't they, hamsters?
I haven't checked. There's a slight tension between us, which I've always just gone on that. She's very wary of me.
Yeah, it must
if I go to pick her up, she looks like she wants to bite me, and I just assume that means she's a woman.
She's
nibbled at me because that's how they learn apparently, and that's how they investigate. They know to investigate. So I've been told it's not a bite. If I wash my hands with a particularly sort of nice smelling soap, so I think I put my hand in, and she just thought, "Ooh, rose petal."
And disappointed to find it was human flesh.
Yeah, she bit through it. She's like, "Ugh, Tabasco and sadness, horrible." So you won't bite me again, but. This is my first week this week where I've actually had to change my plans for Leif. So I'm away working for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to come back so that I can see Leif.
Is there no one who
I say see Leif. Well, I sort of like to do it myself. I'm sort of close enough that I can do it. I'm just, I know what food she likes.
Yeah.
I know what she likes.
You know her routine, don't you, John?
I've got her a new kind of nugget that's got omega-3 in it because they're supposed to have a little bit of that. So she's trying a new nugget this week. And I just think while we're transitioning to a new food, I should probably come and do it myself. And I've bought her... I'm very excited. She's not been in it yet. She's going in it tonight. Yeah. To clean out tonight. I've bought her some sand, so I'm going to put a little bowl of sand.
So you like have almost like a little wash in it, don't they?
She can have a little sand bath, and then when she comes out of that, I've bought her a little maze that she can go in and hunt for snacks while I'm tidying out the cage.
I bet she's dying to write to all her little hamster brothers and sisters and go, you won't believe where I've ended up. I don't know where you're living, but I have struck gold here.
Oh, I hope so. Oh. And I bit him. I feel really bad about it.
I thought he was a rose petal. Bought me a sand bath. I can literally do anything and he'll just keep spoiling me.
Oh, he's a mug. 50 quid's worth of clobber he come back with last week and I'm going to bite him again.
I'm going to die in 18 months. It's mad.
Oh, don't.
Sorry, John.
I'm not there yet, Angela. I'm not there yet, please.
Poor little Lee.
We will tell you what's coming up on Absolute Radio for the rest of the day shortly on it. Well, I can't say on Absolute Radio again, can I? That's ridiculous.
where are we, John? Remind me.
Coming up on Absolute Radio, I'm going to tell you what's on Absolute Radio.
Absolutely.
And incidentally, if you want to email me about what's on Absolute Radio, it's john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Absolute Radio Live.
Absolute Radio Live. Back at the London Palladium this year. James Acaster, Adam Hills, Fatya El Ghori, many more comics joining us for a fantastic night of comedy, all in aid of Prostate Cancer UK. Tickets are available right now at absoluteradio.co.uk. All raising money for Prostate Cancer UK. Very worthwhile cause. 1 in 8 men will get prostate cancer in their lifetime. And if you're black, the risk is double. So get those tickets right now. Help out. Fight prostate cancer. Get to payday weekend, isn't it? It's £42 a ticket. They're at absoluteradio.co.uk/tickets. I will be hosting, it says alongside Matt Ford, in spite of Matt Ford, I will be hosting. In the build-up to the big day, it's Sunday, the 16th of November. I want some needle there. I want a little bit of tension when we step out.
Otherwise, it's too cosy, isn't it? And that doesn't make for a good show, does it? You need to have tension in the air.
Even people who think they're nice aren't nice. Charlie saying earlier, I'm not going to be nice to you anymore, and then reveal that she'd call me a poisonous little troll about 20 minutes earlier.
I think you'll find it was a little spiteful goblin man. But
little
close.
Spiteful goblin. I love that you've written it down.
I wrote it down so I didn't forget.
What's going to happen to that piece of paper later on? I'm going to put a picture of it on Instagram and say, this is what Angela writes while we're doing the show together. She's just doodling. This is what she calls a doodle. My plan is this. I would like to unveil at the live show a montage of Matt Ford praising my team, Leeds United, because I'm amazed this is allowed in these days of balance that Fordy and Dyson, both Nottingham Forest fans.
That is mad, isn't it? I mean, I'm not a football fan, but how's that been allowed to happen?
It's ridiculous. I mean, aside from the fact that they're both white middle-aged men, that's fine. We should be allowed to continue to dominate the media because our views are the most important. However, in football, there must be balance.
Yes.
Yeah, fine with that?
Yeah, absolutely fine with that as the co-host of the John Richardson Show.
Email Angela Barnes at... So, listen, I asked you last week, I said, look, can you just... any time you get to mention the word Leeds, I'll chop it up a little bit. So, you know, I suggested, like, oh, I'm about to take the dog for a walk, the Leeds on top of the wardrobe or something like that.
Exactly.
So then I've got a clip of him saying Leeds on top. You could talk about crime Leeds. You could talk about one thing leads to another. There's lots of ways you can get him to say the word Leeds.
Yeah.
If you get mighty Leeds, all the better. Can I tell you last week what happened?
So how many did we get in? Kindly, I was excited to find out.
Producer kindly went back and listened to the full episode.
Right.
How many mentions of Nottingham Forest?
Oh, I don't know. Probably a 15. Lot with them two. 15.
How many mentions of Leeds?
40.
Just the one.
What?
Just the one. Just the one on the week we beat Wolverhampton Wanderers 3-1. Everyone said we're going down. 3 goals, all from new signings. Okafor banging it in from the left. Calvert-Lewin with a header with an XG of something like 0.05 and a free kick from Anton Stack.
Sorry, the last 15 seconds have just been noise, but... yeah, that's what I heard. I thought my hearing aids were playing up.
I think if anything, he's mentioned it less than he would have.
But that's,
in a normal
I mean,
week.
Probably, yeah, the word Leeds gets mentioned at least once a show anyway. Presumably they talk about football in Rock and Roll Football, so presumably they have to mention all the teams at least once.
How have they not said Wrexham have taken the lead? I'll take that. I'll have anything.
So even without it being pluralised, you'll have it. Lead.
I could put an S on the end of it. I mean, yeah. If I want to, if all else fails, I'll just get an AI video of him saying something horrific and play that at the gig.
Do you think he's onto you? Nah,
he hasn't got the intellect. And he doesn't support his colleagues, so there's no way he's listening. I know for a fact he was in Seville. So he's been to Seville this week to watch Nottingham Forest back in Europe. All this Forest love, I mean, it grinds my gears, man. Oh, 30 years since Forest were in Europe, blah, blah. As if they're like a national, as if it's the England team. I'm supposed to care.
Thing is, John, you hide it well how stressed you are by it.
I do, you know? Yeah. I don't mind. I don't want to be playing European football anyway. Doesn't even matter. I like paddle now anyway.
Oh, God, you're that guy, aren't you? What team does Manford support? Maybe you should
Manchester
switch to them.
City.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, no, I don't think so. Enough people are doing that. Thank you very much.
The glory hunters.
Yeah, go on, Angela, you do know. Go on, who else do you hate?
That's all I know.
Oh, okay, fine. The correct answer to that is all of them.
All of them except Leeds, John.
So that's it for another edition of the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio. Our 50th. Happy 50th, Angela.
It nearly is my 50th. Actually, it's not. It's a year away. It'll be next year.
Yeah, fine. You got loads of time. Do you want a secret smugness?
Yeah, go on.
It was my birthday this week, and I haven't mentioned it.
It wasn't your birthday this week, John. I feel terrible.
Have a load of that. This is worth more to me than anyone like, guys, it's my birthday.
Everyone in the studio feels awful.
The knowledge that everyone feels terrible is absolutely wonderful. And I want to thank you all for making me feel the way I want to feel, which is superior and neglected at the same time.
What date was your birthday? I thought I'd put it in my diary.
Friday, the 26th of September, yesterday.
Oh, John.
It was fine. I wanted to be on my own anyway. I had some crying to do anyway. So what better day to do it?
That is actually how you'll enjoy that. Most people, I'd feel sad if they were doing that on their birthday. But I think that'd make John happy.
Absolutely.
Just you and Leif having a little cry.
So it's been the John Richardson anniversary and the John Richardson Show anniversary. 50 shows young we are.
And so what are you now, John? 44 now?
43 now. 43 now. Thank you very much. Do you know what I always do? A couple of weeks before my birthday, I just start saying I'm the new age.
And then you're used to it. In my head, I'm 49, but I'm not 49 until November.
Yeah, and then when you are 49, you'll be used to it. Yeah. I might start saying I'm 60.
Yes.
Give yourself a run up. The show is available by podcast if you weren't able to listen to all of it. Or maybe you did listen to all of it and you want to have another go.
Yeah, that's permissible as well.
Discovered last week that we always come up with a witty pun title for the podcast. And then when it gets uploaded, they don't use it.
Yeah.
So it's just for us, really.
Well, mine's not a pun, but I feel bad now because it's your birthday yesterday. But I was going to suggest we call it the Little Spiteful Goblin Man Show.
What better
brackets
gift?
Happy birthday.
Yeah, that's lovely. That will do. I was going to suggest Golden Skimmers since it's our golden anniversary and we spoke to the skimming world champion, but yours is far better. So the podcast will be available quite soon, I think, wherever you get your podcast. Sarah Champion is up next, as ever. Then, of course, it's Rock and Roll Football. Andy Bush and Claire Sturgis taking you through the rest of the Saturday. Have a fantastic weekend. Thank you to Dave for stepping in. The drunk chimp, I think, will be back next week. Thank you to Charlie. Commiserations on your imprisonment and finding out that Angela will do anything that it takes on air to get the literal police advance. And thank you to you, Angela, as always.
Thank you for having me, John.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a great week. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Thank you, as ever, for downloading and listening. If you want to hear us live, we're back next week, 8 a.m. on Absolute Radio. Angela, I think you're off to Scotland.
I'm off to the Highlands for some shows. So tickets available.
Yes.
I'm in Galashiel, Stirling, Inverness, Aberdeen and St Andrews this week.
Oh, lovely places.
Yeah, right. I'm really excited.
And can you have a wee dram or are you still on the wee pills after your
operation? I'm still on the wee pills, unfortunately, but I'll bring back some whiskey for my whiskey-loving fella. Let's skim over whatever accent I just tried to do then. You can do accents. I can't. They all come out sounding like me.
I was going to. There was a definite South African twang to... Greetings, people of Aberdeen. It's good to see you. Anyway... I'm still reeling from the half a second when I believed that the whiskey-loving fella might be me. But, of course, it's your husband who does wonderful work and cooks
for you.
Well,
it was your birthday yesterday, so you never know.
Yeah, bring him back something nice. He's an absolute trooper. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye.